In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm Mike Sy today, I'm a father of five. My producer, Dave Buhner, also father of five in studio with us today. And today's topic is music. As fathers, we're concerned about the culture in which we're raising our children. And of course, we're concerned about the music. The music effectively establishes the culture of the day. And I want to take a look at the CDs our teens are buying today. I went into the top 40 selections that are being played on top 40 stations right now across America, and I grabbed a couple of albums, and I want to review them for just a second here before we take a break and talk about good music. Well, Rob Zombie has a new album called Educated Horses. A couple of cuts on it I want to talk about. Foxy Foxy is a theme song for a porn movie, or virtually a theme song for a porn movie. The Plague of a 17-Year Locust is all about drug use, suicide, and sort of a creeping insanity. American Witch opens the disc by spinning a yarn on 20 witches sent to the gallows, and they're not happy about that at all. The Devil's Rejects is getting into the head of a serial killer. And I guess I don't have to read the lyrics, but there's an awful lot of blood in that particular song. Here's another album, Pink, I'm Not Dead album. She sings about drunkenness and sexual deviancy. She loves the F word. F word seems to come back again and again. Harsh profanities, more numerous other tunes. Pink sings about drinking beer while watching trashy TV on a little number called Leave Me Alone. And here's an ode to rebellion, a little number called 'Cause I Can. Here's a quote from the lyrics. I live a life of sin, but that's all right. I don't give a you-know-what. Don't play by your rules. I make up my own. Sort of like the Judges 17:6, every man does that which is in his own eyes, and she sort of put that to music. Well, the number one pop song in the nation right now comes from a guy named T.I., and Dave, that's not Texas Instruments. I know you were thinking that had something to do with your calculator. No, T.I. has done a new album called King, and he's obviously been to church. He's got a song called Stand Up Guy, quote, I know God sees the heart and I'm a stand-up guy. But this guy's heart has a whole bunch of F-words in it from the content of the album itself. People in his songs get riddled with bullets throughout. He brags about selling illicit drugs, good life, top back, I'm straight, ride with me. And let's see, he also calls women nasty names. He talks about his sexual conquests. Which he describes in explicit terms in little numbers called Hello, Undertaker, and Why You Wanna. And the top song of the nation, What You Know, is about abusing drugs. All right, so that's pretty much where things are on the music scene today, Dave. I don't know if you've been disconnected for a little while, but that's where things are. Country music isn't much better, folks. Now, you've got some pro-America lyrics in a lot of your country music. On a lot of your country music numbers these days, some conservative lyrics in the Toby Keith album on getting prayer back into schools, but at the same time he wants to get prayer back into schools, I'm a little confused because he's getting drunk and sleeping with women outside of marriage and using and abusing women. So, you know, getting prayer back into school and abusing women, it's sort of hard to understand exactly what this guy's worldview is all about. Folks, there are an awful lot of Christian children enjoying this music, and that's why we're bringing up today on Generations. My guess is some good families out there, some people consider themselves Christian families, moral families, their children are buying this stuff. Now, I have postulated before on this program, I'll do it one more time, and that is that MTV and the Grammys, the top 40 stations, have way more influence on our youth than their schools, than the Christian schools that they go to. There are a tremendous number of good kids, quote-unquote good kids, that go to Christian schools, good schools, and yet their morals, their culture, their way of looking at life is not defined by what they are studying in those schools. It is defined by the music they listen to hour after hour, day in and day out. Today on this program, we are going to ask the question, how do you train your children in music? Is rock and roll music of the devil? We'll be back in just a moment, folks, to talk about music and your children. Stay tuned.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back.
Folks, folks. Welcome back to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson, father of five. I'm Mike Sod here with you today. And today we want to talk about music and the effect that it has on our children. You know, music really is an expression of where you are right now. Music is always in motion. So, in other words, the music that you listened to yesterday is not always the music listened to today. There's always a transition going on. And, Dave, certainly there has been a transition since we were singing about It's a Bitsy, Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikinis. Now we've got Rob Zombie and everybody else using the F word. But it's an expression of our hearts. It's an expression of where we are right now. And our children, they will listen to the sorts of music that matches where their hearts are right now. So I think it's critical that we know where our children's hearts are, because they're going to be listening to the music that their hearts resonate to.
Well, culture right now wants to be on the cutting edge. It always wants to be defining new ground. That's considered bold and courageous to be right on the edge. And if the edge was at the teeny weeny bikini, pretty soon we're going to be singing about bestiality.
Right, right. And here you have children that I think are not just on the edge. They are in all-out rebellion. For the most part, I think rebellion or revolution is another word that is used for rebellion. These are the words that characterize music in our day and the culture of our day. If our children's hearts are full of rebellion, of course they're going to be impressed by the rebellion of those who use the F word boldly, of those who, you know, break God's law, fornicate or get drunk or what have you. When they do these things boldly, and they sing about them boldly, our children, whose hearts are full of rebellion, will be sitting back going, that's really cool. But what I want to do today is I want to analyze songs, popular songs, but I'm not going to the 2000s. I'm going to go to the 1950s and 1960s, which were supposed to be times when we had really decent music. You know, 50s and 60s were supposed to be back when it was the Great Reformation of music. You know, it was a time when everything was wonderful. Well, everything was not wonderful. Let me just go over just a couple of examples, Dave, and I want your comment on them. Here's Nat King Cole. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer, those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Just fill your baskets full of sandwiches and wieners, then lock the house up. Now you're set. And on the beach, you'll see the girls in their bikinis, as cute as ever, but they never get them wet. All right, now here we have the girls in their bikinis again, and, you know, it's girl watching time. That's what he's saying, isn't it? And let's face it, this is girl watching time. This is not Rob Zombie talking about molesting, you know, women. This is Nat King Cole talking about girl watching. But it doesn't bring up Matthew 5 here in this context. Matthew 5, of course, Jesus says, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her in his heart, he has committed adultery. All right, one more example. Here's Roger Miller. This was a number one hit from the 1960s. And let me just read the lyrics here. Well, here I sit, getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool would live like this. Out all night, running wild. A woman sitting home with a month-old child. Just sitting around drinking with the rest of the guys. Six rounds bought, and I bought five. Spent the groceries, half the rent, like $14.27. Dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me. High from the highest tree. Woman, won't you weep for me? Now, first thing we ought to say is they're using the word dang. They're not using the F word. All right, so there's a difference here between music from the 2000s and music from the 1960s. Today's lyrics are increasingly raw. They're more in your face. Now, I'm not saying that in your face is in and of itself bad, because, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament were in your face from time to time. But the point that we got to ask here is, are these lyrics glorifying to God? Are these lyrics encouraging the virtues of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith? Or are they sort of soaking in their sin? Now, music plays to the heart. And I think the question here is, where is your heart? It doesn't matter if you're a rock star or a country boy. If your heart isn't right, if you're a country boy and you hate God, you're going to love songs about getting drunk and getting laid, because that's where your heart is going. That's the direction of the heart. And you got lyrics here that may be encouraging deviancy. You may have lyrics that are discouraging deviancy, or you may be merely describing deviancy. But here's the verse that applies, Dave, I think, to this song about Dang Me, or any other song, whether it be Rob Zombie or Pink or anybody else. Ephesians 5, verse 11, I think, is the key verse that deals with music. And we got to teach our children this. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, here are the rules. Number one, the Bible says we ought not to dwell on the unfruitful works of darkness. All right? We're not to meditate on it. We're not to sit there and soak in it. Now, describing it is okay. And I think you can have some poetic or some metaphoric descriptions. The prophets do in the Old Testament. They talk about the fornication of Israel in rather descriptive terms. So the Bible describes deviancy. And some songs do describe deviance and sin, and that's okay. But the reaction is what's key here. The reaction is reproving them. Don't soak in them. Don't meditate upon them. Wickedness has got to be reproved. Now, let's go back to Roger Miller's Dang Me. He wants to send himself to hell. That's basically what Dang Me is all about. It's a word for damn. All right, we all know that. He wants to send himself to hell, but he sure doesn't want to change his behavior. Dave, my guess is there are a lot of men out there that are lousy fathers and husbands. They're out there drinking in the bar. They're drinking up all the grocery money. Six rounds bought, and they bought five. And, you know, $27.27 spent at the bar. And so I just go home and I say, Dang Me. He wants to send himself to hell, but he sure doesn't want to change. And I think there are some fathers and husbands out there that are being lousy hot fathers and husbands, and they don't want to change. And here's my question. Why was this song so popular back in the 1960s? I think it's because the hearts of fathers in the 1960s were not right. You had a lot of hearts out there that could identify with this kind of behavior, and they were soaking it. They were saying, well, I guess I'll just send me to hell because I'm not changing.
Kevin, before the advent of the radio, and before there was broadcasting, there was high culture, and there was pop culture, and there was folk culture. In broad categories. High culture was culture that took some work, some mental work, to really enjoy and understand. But it was the highest. It was the most exquisite experience that you would have listening to music, but it took work to get to that point. There was folk culture. This was the folk songs. This was the songs that you would sing around the family, around your community. This was another part of culture. With the advent of the radio, we got pop culture, which is popular. And a radio station has a metric about whether it's successful or not by the number of listeners. And the easiest way to grab listeners is to appeal to the universal things that appeal to all humans, and that is their flesh. That is the sinful hearts of men. No longer were you trying, like in high culture, to appeal to the more cerebral, the more mental areas of the brain, but now you simply wanted to resonate with the sinful nature of mankind. The easiest way to do that? Fornication.
Yeah, and Dave, let's talk about that, because, you know, there are a lot of songs about love. Now, you and I both know that when the word love is used in songs, and I'd say it's 70-80% of pop songs, at least back when we were growing up, 60s, 70s, and 80s, dealt with this subject of love. You think of the Beatles, Love Me Do, All You Need Is Love, etc., etc. So many songs on love. But you and I both know that the definition of love is multiple. And the definition of love in most of these songs have a lot more to do with fornication than anything else. You've got dysfunctional love. You've got lost love. But the bottom line is you've got a bad definition of love. I want to give an example here. Let's take Elvis's latest flame. All right, let me just read this. Would you believe that yesterday this girl was in my arms and swore to me she'd be mine eternally, and Marie's the name of his latest flame? Yeah, Marie's the name of his latest flame. All right, this is Elvis Presley, what, 1969? Maybe it was late 60s, I think, when he came out with that one. But what we have here, Dave, I think, is very clearly the definition of the Proverbs 7 woman, right? Not the Proverbs 31 woman. This is the Proverbs 7 woman. It's the loose woman who just gets the man in a trap and she destroys him, all right? But here you've got a guy who's unable to discern the Proverbs 7 woman. He doesn't seem to understand that he is the Proverbs 7 man. I mean, he goes after her straightway like an ox goes to the slaughter. And as you listen to these lyrics, you know, as you participate in this artistic form, here's the question. Do you enjoy being the Proverbs 7 man? Or do you enjoy being the Proverbs 7 woman? This is loose living. This is fornicating living. This is being led like an ox to the slaughter by a woman who has no desire at all to commit herself to a man, and yet she's there to trap him. This is the Proverbs 7 man. And I guess the question that we've got to ask every person, whether it be man, woman, or child who listens to music, is where is your heart? Where is this child's heart?
Kevin, it's been said that culture is our theology externalized. It's how we live it out. And music is a major part of that culture. And I think it's very important to realize that pop culture is very faithful to the theology and the philosophy of our times. It is an existentialism played out. It is a pleasure for the moment. It is all about me. It is about my choices. It is about my pleasures. That's the highest virtue I can have if there is no other purpose in life. And that's what existentialism is about. And it's perfectly demonstrated by the music and the lyrics of today.
And you really have very little in terms of a biblical definition of love in any of these lyrics, Dave. It's rare to find some songs that deal with the love that a husband has for his wife that is continual, that is faithful, that exists all the way to the end, till death do thee part. You don't see that very much in pop music, do you?
No, you don't. And when you hear the word love in most pop music, it doesn't mean agape love, the kind of love that God has for us. It's not phileo love. It's not a love, a familial kind of love, or a brotherhood of love. It is basically eros. It is a sexual love. You could almost pull the word love out and put the word coitus in its place and not lose meaning. Almost never.
Ladies and gentlemen, today talking about the importance of music in our lives, and it is critical. It is a critical. The direction of our hearts will ultimately be supported, encouraged, edified by the kind of music that we listen to. So let's ask the question again and again. Do we seek that edification? Are we feeding our hearts with good things such that our hearts are comforted, encouraged, and edified in the direction of God and His Word? Well, let's talk about edification. Just a couple of principles here. First thing is, realize that too much of anything is unwise. And our children could be listening to too much music, or too much of one particular genre of music. Dave, I think it's possible to listen to just too many love songs, even if they were decent love songs about a committed agape type of love.
What does the proverb say? Can you heap coals upon your lap without getting burned?
Right. And of course, it's appropriate to bring up sin in a song. I'll admit to that. I think it's appropriate to bring it up in literature and movies. It's appropriate to deal with sin. And yet, too much sin, too much, you know, spending 6 hours listening to the sinful event and then 2 seconds on the final resolution would be inappropriate. So too much of anything may be unedifying. Moreover, we have got to raise our children to be discerning. Ladies and gentlemen, let's ask the question, can our children understand what they hear and read, and can they interact with it from a biblical perspective? Can you do that? Can I do that? When we hear these songs, Marie's the name of his latest flame, Dave, are we thinking existentialism? Are we thinking about a dysfunctional love? Are we thinking about Proverbs 7? My guess is the vast majority of people listening to that Elvis number, his latest flame, are not bringing up in their minds a biblical construct and saying, okay, now where does this particular number fit in to the Word of God?
And, Kevin, the way people listen to music, they're in their car, they're in their home, it's in the background constantly, it's in the stores, it's everywhere. They may not even be listening consciously to the lyrics, but as that music is sedating one part of their brain, the lyrics are sneaking in almost in the subconscious, and they are becoming part of who they are. We know lyrics to songs that we never thought about the lyrics of before because we've heard them 100 times and yet never listened.
Don't be the pachinko ball, the pinball that just chinks around and is moved around by every different influence that is out there. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure that you are training your children with a proper biblical worldview such that they can discern the world that they live in. Discernment is absolutely key. Moreover, wisdom is also interested in effects. In other words, you need to ask the question from time to time, what effect is this music having on my family? What effect is this music having on my children? Do they love God more? Do they love each other more? Are they treating each other with more kindness? Or is this music making them more self-centered? And Dave, I think that's the way to test for whether this existentialism, I know that's a complicated word, and a lot of people don't understand that word, but here's the simple test to determine whether this worldview is corrupting your family. Simply ask the question, is my family getting more and more self-centered? Is my teen more and more self-centered with his music, for example? Does he not want to participate with the family anymore? Is he more self-interested, self-focused? And Dave, generally speaking, more self-interested, self-focused teens are depressed teens. So if your teen is becoming increasingly depressed and self-oriented, my guess is he's listening to the wrong music. Here's one more point I need to make, is that different music fits different moods, different situations, etc. Sometimes we as a family want to be more reflective. Sometimes we want to be more relaxed. Sometimes we want to celebrate. And certain kinds of music we bring out in times of celebration. Certain kinds of music we bring out during times of reflection, etc. Every family needs to cultivate edifying music, and different music will edify different families in different stages of their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, today, music on generations, a critical topic, because music is what disciples the hearts of your children. And I'm just asking a simple question today. What is it that disciples your children's hearts? Is it MTV? Or is it something that conforms to a biblical way of looking at life? Please establish for your family a biblical worldview. There can't be anything more important right now for your family. We've got to develop a biblical way of looking at life.
Kevin, one of the tests that I like to do for myself is the lyrics that I'm thinking of or that I'm singing out loud as I'm driving down the highway. Are these lyrics that glorify God? If he was sitting in the passenger seat next to me, would he be impressed? And if he is not, I'm thinking maybe I need to guard the ear gate a little closer.
Reminds me of the old poem, if Jesus came to your house, what would he think? And that's a critical question to be asking all the time. And folks, let me recommend a resource to you that could be very, very helpful to your family as you establish a biblical worldview for all of life, not just for music, but for all of life. It's the book by Gary DeMar, Thinking Straight in a Crooked World. You've got to establish a good, solid, biblical worldview such that your children can properly interpret the culture around them. Use a good resource like Gary DeMar's Thinking Straight in a Crooked World for that purpose. You can get this book, Thinking Straight in a Crooked World, by going to my website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Store, then go to Worldview. That's kevinswanson.com for Thinking Straight in a Crooked World. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. And you can interact with this program by emailing me, host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, right there at kevinswanson.com on the web. Get your friends and family members to listen to us at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and we want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.